All right, I am recording. How cool. Yeah. Okay. Talk to you in a few.
Talk to you in a little while.
Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning, Elias. I am proceeding very well. Curious things have been happening as 2019 is coming to a close, and some things I wanted to talk to you about the year. But I wanted to start with a dream I had back in November. I think it was shortly after I contacted Mary about doing a session with you, and it was me in the ocean riding on a blue whale, and most of the dream was just the experience of being on the whale. And there was a little snippet where Robert was on a beach nearby and trying to get me to come in closer so he could see me or the whale, and I wouldn't do it. And I wanted to see what your take on the imagery was.
And your impression?
I thought it had to do with our connection and me just being open to it, that it's not quite like following a feeling, but it's sort of a going to a state of being that I can just be with you like the blue whale, and it's just a very natural flow if I allow myself to be open to that experience.
I agree, and that you didn't want it interrupted.
Yes. Yes. And I think sometimes I get in those places, and I often don't allow myself to have those experiences uninterrupted.
I agree, but I would also say that this is imagery encouraging you in the direction to learn how to have that be more consistent and, in your terms, more normal, and therefore not occasionally, and that you could be expressing in that manner as a natural state of being, and therefore it wouldn't matter if you were interrupted.
Very good. I like that. Wow, and that makes sense in the context of what was going on too physically at that time, and prior to November, I had been just kind of getting into that state, like when I'm running, and I can run and pay attention to trails and also be in that state. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that I've been open to just a lot of practices and some funny aphorisms and things that I had just been playing with and practicing and writing down. And one of the ones was about having to close your eyes to see. And I think I had been experiencing some things about where you can see and know things without the physical senses. And curiously. In November, I had another one of those incidents with my eye, only this one was much, much more severe, that I had been doing a guest lecture at a university and had just finished it, and I knew I had been pressuring myself. I had felt stressed about wanting to do a really good job, and had just finished it and pulled out onto the road, and all of those floaters just filled my vision. I closed my eye, and when I opened it, I couldn't see. It was just a blur, and there was nothing but just some light coming in. And that was almost 5 weeks ago, and it was a long process, but for much of that time, I haven't been able to see out of my right eye, which was curious that it was my right eye. But it seems like part of that experience was me experiencing seeing without seeing.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, I've had those other health challenges this year that have been challenging in different ways. And I think the challenge with this one was that it took away a piece of my relating to the world.
How so?
Because it really affects how you interact with space. It affected my equilibrium. I couldn't run trails. I could walk, was able to walk the dog, but I had to learn to really shift my vision so that I wasn't bumping into things, and I didn't feel confident driving on highways because I didn't have my peripheral vision on that side, and I had trouble reading and watching things on the computer. So it was just like it just kind of shook things up.
Yeah. But in that, I would say that it also gave you an opportunity to learn how to orient yourself differently.
Yes.
And if you don't that, and even if you don't do it automatically or naturally, futurely, it doesn't matter. It gave you an opportunity to learn how to orient yourself differently, which is significant, and it is important, and it is important in relation to that dream imagery that you had in association with you being able to place yourself in a state of mind or a state of being in a particular manner, and to hold your attention and your concentration in that manner, but that you have the perception that you can't do that if you have any potential interruptions. You have to have a time and space arrangement that your attention is, in a manner of speaking, free to be focused in only one direction, and that you can't interpret interruptions. You have to be, in a manner of speaking, in a particular zone within yourself. But that isn't true. That is your perception, as being your experience, but this experience is interesting and valuable because it was teaching you how to reorient yourself in a different capacity, different from what you are normally accustomed to. And that is important because it also tells you that whatever you do, you don't have to have specific conditions to do it. You can reorient yourself in anything.
That's curious. I definitely see that. And there's an element. I had been also reading Toltec teachings by this Toltec master, Teun Maras. And at some point in reading it, there was a section on electromagnetic and these feelings of the tonal and the nahal, and but it felt like at some point I actually understood how to just go to that space and what it feels like to experience them at the same time, that to be very much in the body and at the same time feel that subjective, and that they were just there together and I guess sort of like harmony.
Yes.
And I've been able to do that more and more easily. It's just like, oh, there it is. And it's just like, you know, it's there. It's just being aware and just allowing it.
I agree. And I am very acknowledging of you in that.
Yeah, it feels rather significant, like it's a significant change or expanding piece for me.
I agree. And I would be, once again, very acknowledging of you in that, because I would say that this is another important part of your movement in becoming more self-aware. Being able to understand different states of being in a manner of speaking. And that all of them are a choice, and you can create any of them. They aren't an accident. They don't randomly happen to you. You create that. You choose it. And this piece about reorienting yourself is a significant piece of that equation, because it is being open to other expressions and other actions that you aren't familiar with, or that until now have been unknown to you.
Right. It's curious, in the one of the Toltec teachings, it talks about the only true knowledge comes through personal experience. And it was just like, well, you can read these things, but until you've experienced it, it doesn't really have meaning.
Correct. And that, my friend, tremendous. That is a tremendous actual realization that you have, because I have been expressing that from the onset of this forum, that individuals have frequently asked the question to myself, why do you not give information to us beforehand, before something happens? And in that, my response has been the same from the beginning of my interactions with all of you, which has been because it would be meaningless to you. Concept is concept. It doesn't move in the direction and become reality until you have the experience with the concept. It is only words. It is only an idea. It is abstract. It is a concept. Until you have experience, and then the concept becomes reality. Then you understand what the difference is. That, then something becomes real to you. Now, once it becomes real, then you may have questions about that, which then I can engage conversation with you and offer information and even explanations, but you will understand because you have the experience.
Right.
Without the experience, it is simply words. It is simply an idea, but it isn't real.
Yeah, it's curious. One of the little aphorisms I have been working with was, what if this, whatever this is, whatever, what if this is not happening to you and is happening for you? And I was playing with that around this time, and it was amazing that it really allowed me to shift from feeling victimized by the experience, you know, the poor me, what's going on. It was much more empowering, and it was just a simple shift of preposition that had really significant change, but it was through an experience. It wasn't just, oh, well, that's an interesting concept, I get that, but you really get it when you're in an experience, that it's easy to slip into those feelings of fear and victimhood and all of that.
Very much so. I very much agree. And in that, it gives you a very different perception and perspective.
Yeah, a lot of what I think I've been experiencing is that interconnection of awareness and perception, how they work together, but also the realization that, well, you know, I've set the intent to explore these experiences and the shift and the expansion of awareness, and that trusting that I set the intent and that I'm drawing experiences that are working for me and helping me achieve my intent.
Agreed. And I would also express to you that some people, and you are one of them, some people express in a direction of creating physical manifestations because it is them. They pay attention to those physical manifestations, and therefore that is a form of communication to themselves that they will definitely pay attention to, and that you actually give yourself considerable information through those experiences of creating physical manifestations. Therefore, in that, what I would also express very much in conjunction with your idea of something being presented for you rather than to you, that you create these physical manifestations. And let me, as an aside, say the physical manifestations may not always be with your body consciousness, but sometimes they are. And actually, even many times they may be. But that you are an individual that definitely notices and pays attention to physical manifestations, giving yourself physical examples of whatever concept you are presenting to yourself in relation to furthering your self-awareness and following your desire. And it is very efficient and effective. And therefore, you continue to do it. And in that, it is very much a situation which the realization that you had is very true, that it is a situation in which you are choosing this because it is effective, because it is efficient, and you will pay attention to it, not because you are a victim of some physical manifestation, but then realizing that every part of this process is enlightening you to something. Every part of the process in relation to whatever it is that you create, that you present to yourself in relation to physical manifestations, every part of the process is a part of your expansion in your awareness. It isn't only one piece. It is all of it. The manifestation itself, how it is presented, what it affects, what you choose to address to it, what that process is, then afterwards, and what you engage in the healing process, all of it is all a part of what you have chosen to expand your self-awareness in a manner that will be very constructive and helpful to you.
Oh, I so see that. It's when I just being in the experience, the physical manifestation, and it was just, it was all very intense, but it was amazing the effect on relationships, like with Linda and Robert, and my needing help from them with driving, but the medical team that I worked with to heal, because I ended up with a really large retinal tear, and just the trust and the connection, and it was intense and also very a very deep experience of intimacy and trust. You know, I was awake when they were doing the eye surgery, which is probably something that totally terrifies me in movies when they're doing anything with the eye, and that I have to close my eyes or go away. And I stayed awake for the whole process, and there was just trust, and it was a really
and amazing. I would say that is also a new layer of trust for you.
Yes.
That this is a much greater expansion of that personal expression of trust, in which you aren't just trusting yourself, and you are, and that is the greatest part of it, but by extension, then you are also trusting all of these other people, which is also a presentment of that interconnectedness, experiencing that interconnectedness, that when you trust yourself, you can trust all these other people to be engaging with you in a manner that is safe and that is to your benefit.
Right, and it seems like that the experience from their point of view, they were having experiences that were also beneficial to them, that it was a cooperation or collaboration.
Yes, I very much agree. And that is all part of this interconnectedness. It doesn't move in only one direction. You think of it, most of the time, you think of it in relation to simply how it affects you or what you are experiencing. But you don't necessarily think about how this experience is also benefiting all of these other individuals that are interacting with you because of that interconnection. And in that, especially individuals such as physicians, you don't think about how your experience is benefiting them. They are simply doing their job.
Right.
They already know this situation, this information, because this is their job and this is what they do. And in that, you automatically assume that if something is an individual's job, that they have already learned everything that they learn, and that they don't learn anymore. And that is very incorrect. And in that, very much similar to the old saying that the teacher learns from his students.
Right.
Every person that is involved in any expression, in any action, in any experience that you have, any person also is being given the opportunity to expand and to learn from what they are experiencing with you as an individual and in that interconnectedness. And in that, some of those individuals are much more likely to be learning something if you are aware of what you are learning and if you are expressing that openness and you are actually in the process being an example. Now, if you are engaging this type of situation and you are engaging the physician and you are going to the physician in the mindset and the energy of being a victim to some expression that your body has created, independent of you, not with your permission, not being your choice, but that you are a victim to what your body has engaged, such as a disease or an injury or even a virus. When you have that perception and you engage a physician, then you are engaging the physician with an energy and from a position that you are correct. They already know that. And they are not learning from your experience necessarily, because you are presenting yourself in an energy that they are very familiar with and that they generally will move in a direction of automatic pilot. But regardless of how familiar they may be with any physical manifestation, if the individual that is engaging them isn't expressing that energy of a victim to their body, if the individual is engaging them and is in a direction and a mindset of being curious about what they themselves are creating, knowing that this was a choice, but they may not have been aware of choosing it, and therefore questioning themselves and exploring what they are creating and exploring that process of what is occurring and being more self-aware, the energy that you are projecting is very different, and the physicians are responsive to that, responsive in a manner that then they are curious and they don't approach the situation the same, in that this is something that they are very familiar with and they know this and they aren't questioning it and they are not as attuned to it. Mm-hmm. Their interaction with you will be different. And what they pay attention to will be different.
I would say that very much happened with Dr. George and Dr. Young and the first resident who saw me, that there was an openness, a curiousness, and that they were willing to, they voluntarily shared that with me so that I knew that they were learning and experiencing things that they went on and shared with their medical students, and that it was very much not just happening behind the scenes, but there was a communication of it.
Yeah. And I would say that is a difference that occurs because of what you were doing.
Wow. Well, it's curious because the tear, they were looking for it, and it was someplace very difficult to see and not typical, and they were curious and kept looking for what was happening, and it was just a very positive, very expanding experience. And I felt really connected with the one retinal specialist who was still learning from his mentor, who was also a specialist, but Dr. George. There was just this instant connection, recognition that I had known him, that connection you feel with people that you've had a lot of focuses with. Do I share a lot of focuses with this individual? Is this it an essence that we've talked about previously? Okay, I ha it's it felt familiar, but in a way it also felt new. Would you share the essence name?
One moment. Essence name. Sadie.
Sadie. How many focuses do we share?
Your impression.
Of 932.
Congratulations.
Well, very good. Is Sadie a part of our soul group?
Yes.
Okay. Well, before our next meeting, I will see if I can explore that some. Do you have any hints?
I will allow you to explore first.
All right. Well, it was definitely curious. It was curious. I wanted Linda to meet him to see if she had that recognition, and things kept happening, and she didn't get to meet him, but Robert did. Was there anything behind that?
Meaning.
I don't know. That did I want to explore it first before sharing it with her? That twin thing. Right, now she's going to really want to meet this person. We haven't explored focuses in a while, so it would be fun to go into that a little bit. What about the physical manifestation? Is there anything that would be beneficial for me to know? I was, when it first happened, I definitely thought, oh no, I was doing the pressure. You had told me that these experiences could get worse, and oh my gosh, this one definitely was. But it seems like probably maybe from my 40s forward, the optometrists have told me I have high ocular pressure, but I've always had tests done and my eyes are normal. Do I have an issue with pressure that's related to me pressuring myself?
I would say definitely, that is obvious.
Guess one of the things, so these little aphorisms that I had been coming up with, I wanted to come up with a saying that said, do this, focus on this to pressure down. And so one thing that I was working with was breathing, just relax, breathe, and that will lower my pressure. Do you have any suggestion for how do I learn to not do that pressure thing?
Yes. I would say that pressure and tension are very closely related. They are not always the same, but they are very closely related. And therefore, I will express to you in a similar manner that I have recently with some individuals in relation to tension. Now, because you are a very physically oriented individual, this will be in a manner of speaking somewhat easy, or some of it will be obvious, not all of it. But what I would say to you first is I would express the challenge for you to be paying attention to how you generate pressure with your body consciousness to be productive. Let me express to you that pressure in general isn't always negative or destructive. There are some expressions with it that are actually productive and beneficial. Now, think about your body consciousness, and in that, whatever you do physically, whatever physical action you engage, you automatically generate a message to certain parts of your body to express a type of tension and pressure to accomplish a particular action. Therefore, as an example, walking. Now, this is automatic, and it is also a physical action that you are expressing an instruction, a communication automatically to certain parts of your body. The first aspect of your body that you are targeting with walking is your legs to be generating a particular movement. Now, in that, you automatically generate a certain degree of tension in association with your legs to accomplish that action of walking. Now, change the action of walking to running. Now you are incorporating a different instruction to your body consciousness. And once again, first you are targeting your legs. And in addition to the tension that is generated for walking, now you are adding to that a particular pressure to engage your legs in the movement of running. You are also generating a different type of pressure in relation to your heart and your lungs. You are creating a certain type of tension with your nervous system to accomplish this action. Now, all together, the tension in certain areas of your body and the pressure in certain areas of your body are all moving together in harmony and being productive to generate a specific action of running. Now, in this, I would say that there are many actions that you do within a day that employ either tension or pressure in relation to your body consciousness in a capacity that is beneficial because it is desired and it is productive. Now, I would charge you with the action of paying attention and noticing how many actions you engage each day that are generating a pressure or a tension in your body consciousness to be productive. Therefore, you are generating these expressions for a reason, and that reason, in some capacity, will be being productive and will be following something that is important to you and that is valued by you. And it doesn't have to be something as intense as running. Because you do this action in which you include tension and pressure in your body consciousness, in different aspects of your body consciousness, every day, many times a day. Unless you are being very sedentary. But if you are moving at all, and if you are doing any action physically at all, then you are also incorporating these actions of tension and pressure with some aspect of your body consciousness. Now, if you can familiarize yourself with how you employ that pressure with your body consciousness on a daily basis in a productive capacity, then you can more easily begin to see objectively when you are engaging pressure and tension with your body that isn't productive, that isn't intentional, that isn't beneficial. Generally speaking, when you engage pressure and tension with the body consciousness in capacities that are not productive, it generally has something to do with some past experience. It has something to do with a repeat action. Those are expressions that you engage unintentional and that are not productive in relation to pressure and tension.
Could you give me an example of that?
Very well. I will express a hypothetical example. Let us say that you have a conversation with your partner, and at some point in the conversation, it somewhat turns, and you may be engaging some slight aspect of conflict. You disagree about something. And in that, you choose to stop engaging that subject and you move on and you do something different. And later, you start thinking about that conversation. And you are recalling the interaction and you are questioning yourself or you are justifying yourself and you are pulling up feelings in relation to what occurred in that conversation, and perhaps you are questioning yourself in relation to either you are judging yourself that you could have engaged that conversation better, and you weren't thinking about certain factors and you should have included that, or you move in the other direction in which you are bringing up feelings of being somewhat irritated because now you are thinking about the conversation and you are justifying yourself in your direction and evaluating that the other individual was wrong or off the mark in some capacity. Now, in all of this, you're beginning to generate tension and pressure with your body consciousness. You are repeating a recall of an experience, you are creating an unsettledness in yourself, a dissatisfaction in some capacity, and you are being unsettled. And in that, you are generating a pressure with yourself that you don't even recognize. You don't even realize you are doing it. But you are either pressuring yourself to be better, or you are pressuring yourself to establish your rightness. That it is important that it is not left unestablished. But in either direction, and this is a very simple example, and it could be in relation to some subject that is very mundane or what you would even assess as being not very important. It doesn't matter. You make it important by repeating it. And in that, you are automatically generating an unnecessary pressure, or if you are generating some action in which you expect yourself to express or perform in a certain capacity with other individuals. And it doesn't matter whether those individuals are familiar or strangers.
Your hypothetical examples have an uncanny way of being very relevant. Okay.
Now,
as you describe those, I can feel the tension and the pressure.
And that is the point. And in that, then you can see how you generate that tension and that pressure automatically. But you can also see how you automatically ignore that, because you are so focused on the subject matter that you don't acknowledge the tension and the pressure that you are creating. Now, notice I did not say you aren't aware of it. You are. You do notice it to a degree. You notice that your breathing is different. You notice that your solar plexus are tense. You notice that you may be generating pressure with yourself, but you override it and you ignore it because you are more concentrated on the subject matter itself and the activity that may be associated with it. And therefore, you don't pay attention to your body consciousness and what it is doing, regardless that it isn't being quiet about it. And it isn't. Whenever you are generating pressure and tension with your body consciousness, your body is generally not quiet about it. It is very intent in letting you know that you are generating an action, an expression that is not productive and not beneficial. Now, I will say to you, very clearly, you can also, in this moment, identify the difference. Because when you are running, you also feel that tension and that pressure with your body, but it feels good.
Yes.
And when you are generating pressure and tension that isn't productive, it doesn't feel good. And that is an obvious difference. Your body is just as much not quiet about expressing that tension and pressure when you are doing an action such as running. It is obvious that your body is generating that pressure and that tension, but it feels good.
Right. Is there a certain spot in my body consciousness where I start to experience the tension first? That could be a good clue that, hey, feel this, you're starting to tense up.
I would say there are several. One, stomach area or your solar plexus. And one is your head. You will physically feel not clear. That is what influences you and encourages you to keep asking questions.
Ah.
Because you aren't clear. Therefore, you repeat and repeat and repeat questions. And what I would say to you is stop asking yourself questions. If you have questions, direct them to what they involve. If you are asking yourself if you are doing something correctly with your sister, don't ask yourself, ask her. If you are questioning something about something you do with your partner, don't ask yourself, ask him. If you have a question about, let us say, something at your work, stop asking yourself these questions and direct them to the source.
That would be a change.
Yes.
It sounds...
And that will be much more productive.
Yes. It's funny, I think, you know, when you talk about it being in the throat, when I think about when that happens in a conversation, it definitely changes my voice.
Yes.
Well, very good. Well, I heard the timer go off. Wow, this hour went really quickly. It was so good to catch up with you.
I agree, my friend, and I would express tremendous, tremendous encouragement to you. This is all tremendous that you are moving in this direction, that you are expanding your awareness. I congratulate you tremendously.
Thank you. It's been intense.
But definitely productive.
Yes. Yes. Oh, my God. And just layers and layers of it.
I agree. And I would also say that in addition to being productive, it has been important.
Yes. And a good launch to the new decade that'll start in a few days.
Excellent. And I'll be moving with you every step of the way.
All right. Well, I will drink a toast to you at midnight when 2020 starts.
Excellent. In tremendous love to you, my friend, as always, and in great encouragement in what you are accomplishing. Au revoir.
Au revoir.